Dan Favalli from the Bleacher Report NBA writer joins us now. Dan, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm excellent. I read with interest your article about the Raptors kind of running out of time to be taken seriously. And, you know, there is kind of a fleeting window of opportunity. And, you know, I read your article, and a lot of it really does focus around Kyle Lowry. Like, how many more years can he be a top-end point guard?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's on a reasonable salary, but he is going to hit free agency in 2017. He will decline that player option. And can you justify reinvesting in him? If he's gotten you out of the first round once, but he's never really played well in the playoffs. If you don't make the Eastern Conference Finals this year, which really might be your best chance to get there, that's something you have to consider. And then more imminently would be DeMar DeRozan, who is playing overall just as poorly, and he's going to be a free agent this summer. How do you justify giving him the max money that another team is going to give him when you haven't made it past the second round or even really challenged possibly for a second round victory with him struggling?
Now, it's interesting. Why would another team give him the max deal in your eyes?
I think this summer is going to be bonkers, and I hope it's not a cop-out answer, but I don't really think we're prepared for how much money is going to be floating around the NBA, and then you really have a lack of franchise saviors. You know LeBron is going to go back to Cleveland. Kevin Durant might be out there, but it's really tough to justify any of these guys to put them in the same tier. Al Horford, he's great. He's not there. Mike Conley is great. He's not there. Nicholas Batum is great. He's not there. DeRozan falls into that same tier. These guys are going to get max money because teams are going to have it this summer. And you can also look at the fact that they're not really getting max money because the cap's going to jump by another $20 million or more the summer after that. So I do think it's going to be crazy. And if teams want instant impact players and they have the money to spend, they're going to spend it because there aren't other stars to spend them on. And that really helps out guys not only like DeRozan, but when you have Batum and Al Horford should be able to reap those benefits as well.
Dan Favalli from the Bleacher Report joins us. So, Dan, when you outline it like that, if you're the Toronto Raptors, don't you have no choice but to sign DeMar DeRozan because you're like, well, there's nobody else out there. And, well, DeMar doesn't necessarily get us to the conference. Well, although they still could easily get to the conference final. And if they do, then maybe that changes things. But let's say they lose out to the Heat. There's still no other better options out there. Sure, you can go and start over in the draft, but you know the chances of you getting someone to be that good is going to take you 4 or 5 years anyway. So the Raptors might have no choice but to sign him.
Yeah, you're absolutely right there. If Toronto does flame out in the second round, or even if they make it to the Eastern Conference Finals and DeRozan doesn't really play a big part in them getting there, general manager Masai Ujiri is a guy who I think will go out and test other players to see if he has an opportunity to sign them before going back to DeRozan. But unless he really comes on, if you're going to re-sign him, it's one, like you said, almost out of necessity. And two, it might be with the thought that, hey, after he's been there for whatever the six-month period is before you can trade players or 90 days or whatever it is, they might look to try and deal him because that's a contract that, again, won't look terrible under the new salary cap climate in 2017 when it jumps again. And Ujiri is always a guy that wants to get value for his players. So the only way he lets DeRozan walk for nothing, in my eyes, would be if they're getting someone else in. But if they don't go out there and they don't test the waters on some other wings, if they don't like Nicholas Batum or they don't like these Kent Bazemore and Alan Crabb guys that are out there or Harrison Barnes guys, then you absolutely do re-sign DeMar DeRozan. But I don't know if you re-sign him with the intent on keeping him long-term.
Dan, in your opinion, as we're going to shift to now the action on the court, in your opinion, Dan, should the Raptors be considered lucky that they split the first two games with the Heat, or did you see enough from Toronto that makes sense that, yeah, they should be tied 1-1 through two games?
Yeah, I wouldn't say they were lucky. It might be more of a compliment to the rest of their team that they were able to stay super close throughout game two, even though they blew some leads. When you have guys like Lowry and DeRozan struggling, Lowry sort of toyed with us. We thought he was going to get going after his hot start, and he really never did after hitting his first few shots. So it's a testament to the other guys and the numbers they're able to put up, like Giannis Valanciunas and Damari Carroll. But you have to like the defense some of these other guys are playing as well. Even Kyle Lowry's been pretty pesky on the defensive end. And I think that's the main difference between the Raptors team of this year and the Raptors team of last year, is that this team can win games with just its defense. So when you have your star player struggling or when your offense isn't on point and you're not making your free throws, you have another way to win. They didn't have that last year. not the ideal way to win because your team is built around two offensive stars. But the fact that you can do that, again, it really is a compliment to the way that Ujiri has built this team, its newfound depth, and the way that Dwayne Casey has instilled some different type of defensive scheme.
Dan Favalli from the Bleacher Report joining us, talking NBA playoffs. You mentioned Dwayne Casey, some of the schemes he's drawn up. What have you made of the battle between the coaches? Is obviously Eric Spoelstra and the Heat, they've been there before. They've been in championships. This is new for the Raptors. What have you made of Casey versus Spoelstra?
It's been pretty interesting with the way that they've adjusted. I really liked the way Dwayne Casey started the series when he went smaller to combat Miami's small ball lineup. And I like that he's stuck with that model a bunch throughout, even when it hasn't always worked. Because we've seen Miami light up teams like Charlotte, even though they won those three straight games. Miami absolutely ripped them apart in those latter two games. I like that Dwayne Casey has shown that he can make those mid-game adjustments. He's also done a nice job, specifically last night, of the Raptors keeping Hassan Whiteside in sort of a check on the defensive offensive end. He's going to shoot efficiently, but you got to limit his opportunities off pick and rolls, and I think Toronto's done a pretty good job of that, and that's definitely a compliment to their coach. But Casey specifically, you knew what you were getting out of Coach Spo. He makes nice mid-game, mid-series tweaks, and I think Casey has done a very good job himself, so that's been sort of fun to watch, and I think it will grow even more interesting now as we move into the second part of the series and these guys make even more adjustments.
Dan Favalli joins us from the Bleacher Report, NBA writer. Dan, last night, obviously a huge win for the Raptors. We see Damari Carroll, who was a beast for them. And the Raptors, while their two all-stars haven't been all-stars in the postseason, their bench is really the big reason why I still see them as a legit chance to beat the Miami Heat, because their bench is way better and deeper than Miami's.
For sure. And I think we can go back to Corey Joseph being one of the best signings of all summer out of any team. Even when he doesn't have it going offensively, he really steps up on the defensive end, and he's pretty pesky, and he'll guard guys who are bigger when he plays alongside Kyle Lowry as well. It's fun to see. And then Damari Carroll, opponents have shot relatively well at points against him throughout the playoffs, but he's just doing so much on the defensive end. It's incredible when you think he really hasn't even been back to playing basketball for a month just yet. He's trying to cover up for the Raptors' iffy rim protection while staying on the perimeter and chasing these guys off the three-point lines. He's getting tough assignments. He's seeing time on a bunch of different guys, from Joe Johnson to Luol Deng to Dwayne Wade, to Josh Richardson, to even being switched on Goran Dragic. His versatility has been incredible for them, and I don't think they get to this point in the playoffs where you can have at least a semblance of confidence they can win games with their defense if he isn't healthy and back in the rotation.
Do you, if you're the Heat at home now in the next two games, how do you attack the Raptors differently? And secondly, what do you do to protect the ball better? Because their giveaways were atrocious last night.
Yeah, the Heat, in terms of their giveaways, there's not much more you can say than they just need to take care of the ball. Some of their passes were just bizarre. They picked up their dribble in traffic, and that's just never a good decision. They just need to be smarter. If they're really going to attack the Raptors better, you want to see them try and exploit what they can do off the pick and roll and inside the paint more. That they were only a plus four in points in the paint versus Toronto is a loss for them last night. You want to be able to rock those rims, and you want to use Hassan Whiteside to your advantage, because the Raptors, in theory, don't have anyone who can stop him. They've just done a really good job of disrupting the sets that are run for him and just making life difficult on the Heat in general. And, you know, if you're the Heat, you're going to need to shoot the three ball even better than you already have, because that's going to open things up for not just Whiteside when he's rolling, but for Wade when he wants to get into the lane. And 5 of 14 isn't a bad number last night, which I think is what they shot. But you need to probably shoot more just to keep the Raptors' defense honest. And I would look for Coach Spoelstra to try and instill that into his guys ahead of games 3 and 4.
Dan, we appreciate it. Who are you picking in this best of five now?
I think this one's going to go to 7 games. I still have to give the edge to the Heat, though, overall. If Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan start to show you something together on offense for more than a couple quarters at a time, then I think we are in a position where we can reevaluate the Raptors. But right now, I don't think depth and defense is going to get them by without a little bit of star power from their best players.
Should be fun to watch, Dan. Appreciate your time.
Most definitely. Thank you guys for having me. Take